God is good. God is good. We talk about blessing, and we talk about provision, and we say those things. I'm so thankful that God has provided. I'm so thankful that God has blessed. But do we really know the difference between the two? Do we really know the difference between the two? I'm thankful that I'm provided with food, water, and clothing, and shelter. God wants more. God wants us to tap into His unlimited storehouse that we just barely scratch the surface for. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I'm not going to ask you to stand because I have several scriptures that I want to read as not necessarily a text, but several texts. And I have those up on the screen. You can also, like I said, use your notes on the back of your bulletin and write notes down. But do we know the difference between blessing and provision? Anybody here provide for your family or yourself? Anyone here go past providing and bless your family? Where are you going with this, Brother Chris? I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians, let's start there. Let me read some verses to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I don't know about you, but this verse tells me He's going past meeting my needs, and He wants to give me abundance. What does that look like? Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who just ask? Seems simple enough, doesn't it? Just ask. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Most of you don't even have to look this one up or write it down, you know it. And my God, or but my God, shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You hearing blessings or hearing providing this morning? Maybe a little bit of both. Psalms 23, we just sang about it. Verse 1. Love the way this starts. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For Christian people to complain about never having anything, we fail to realize the simplicity of Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He didn't say you shall have all of your needs or all of your wants and your desires, but He said, I shall not want. How does that look? Psalms 37:25. David says, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Let's talk about provision and blessing this morning. Let me start with a personal story. I need to take a drink here. As I get started, picture this. It was a chilly spring evening back in March of 1996. The Walmart then was where Atwood's is today, if you're old enough to remember that. And I was climbing the Walmart ladder just as fast as I could. I had already been promoted from stock boy, cart pusher, puke mopper, bathroom cleaner, you know, those really sophisticated jobs, to the cashier, to service desk, and I had made it up to the customer service manager. Those days, you got to wear a red vest. You know, the one that really made your chest stick out, look good. I got to wear the red vest. So I was a customer service manager. Let me tell you what, this 18-year-old kid was so full of wisdom and experience. I had the zeal of Peter, like he did when he cut off the ear of the soldier for Jesus. I was ready to go for it. Except I was taking that zeal to the corporate level, so I thought. Now, I'm going to spare you some of the mushy details. You're welcome. But as I went to work, That chilly spring evening in March, little did I know that the job God had blessed me with, you got to get this, was actually a stepping stone into His provision. Wow. Can I be a little bit human for just a minute? You all right with that? I won't be super spiritual for the next 10 seconds. See, His provision came in the form of the most beautiful 5'4", long, curly-haired brown girl that I had ever seen ever walk the face of the earth. Aaron, it was like a scene off the Hallmark movie. It was like the picture-perfect bride. When the guy sees the girl for the first time, sitting next to the Coke machine in the break room at Walmart, there's a window behind it, snowing. Not really, I might be exaggerating there just a little bit. But the rest is history. God had blessed me with a job, but He was also making provision for my future. I say that to lead into Scripture. Now let me give you a story that you can relate to yourself, especially you farmers. In the heat of the summer, when we've had no rain for weeks, and the temps have been around 100 degrees with 90% humidity. You think about that right now and you think, oh, thank God for the cool weather outside this morning. But however, when it's 100 degrees and 90% humidity, we complain and eventually start praying for rain and cooler temperatures, right? When the rain and the cooler temperatures come, we thank God for that blessing. But if the rain doesn't stop for several days, and flash flooding becomes an issue, come on, we prayed for rain, now we're getting a flood, and we think, all right, God, you've messed up this time. Where's all the provision for this rain? Where's all this water going to go to? So let me break it down a little bit more, because I wanted to study the definition and distinction myself. So let's look at provision and blessing, the definition of those. Provision is the action of providing. Provision is the action of providing. And blessing is God's favor. Yeah. If you don't understand that, you won't understand anything else I say this morning. Provision is the action of providing, and blessing is God's favor. As we consider what's already went on this year, in the mighty year of 2020, I have come more aware and more observant of my blessings. Have you? We who have been called into the family of God, our Creator, we have been blessed. Who experiences God's blessings on a daily basis. Somebody say, I'm blessed. You can do better than that. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. However, I have been guilty, and maybe I can draw your attention to this today as well, for mistaking God's provision or His providing for my needs for God's blessing, which is His favor. Let's look at a biblical example of this so you understand where I'm coming from. Numbers. Numbers isn't a book that we often look to when we need encouragement or even for general reading. Usually if I say, hey, where am I going to turn to in the Bible and start reading? Numbers isn't one of them. As a matter of fact, out of 66 books in the Bible, I would say Numbers might be 65th place, just before the Book of Lamentations if I'm looking for encouragement. However, there is something to be learned from the book of Numbers, so let me give you a quick synopsis. The first generation of Israelites rebel, and they miss out on the blessing of the promised land. They wander for almost 40 years as a consequence. In the wilderness, though, God still provides them with manna. Think about this. They missed out, and you all know the story well, I don't really need to recap that. They missed out on the blessing because they disobeyed. But yet, because they were still God's people, He still provided. Yes. Then they complain about the manna. You know, it's funny, here I see the loving parental side of God. Mm-hmm. Our kids complain, and yet we still provide. Sometimes we whine on our job. and our boss is still divine. You see the loving parental side of God here. So they complain about the manna. So what does God do? He gives them quail. Did you know, I looked this up. Quail is about $10 to $12 a pound right now, even if you can find it. Very difficult to find. But God provided that for them. Then they complain about being thirsty. So God gives them water from a rock. I've often thought about this and thought to myself, wow, God even provided for them when they were whiny and rebellious.
Yeah.
Anybody like to give somebody something when they're whiny and rebellious? Not this fella. I'll hold back as long as I can until, in my mind, I teach you a lesson so that you're not so whiny. And you recognize your blessing. I hope you're following me this morning. God brought something to my attention when I read this a while back, and also in another scripture that I'll share with you here in a few minutes. But I don't want you to miss this because it's good. If you've noticed this before, I think you'll enjoy it again. But if you've never thought about it before, you're going to learn something new. And again, if you have, act like it's a new revelation. We'll enjoy it together. God was providing for the children of Israel's needs, but it was not the blessing and it was not the favor that he wanted to give them.
Right.
It was second best.
Yeah.
He was providing, but it wasn't the blessing. God wanted them to enjoy a land that flowed with milk and honey. God wanted them to enjoy grape clusters so big that two men had to carry them. God wanted them to enjoy pomegranates and figs and have plenty of pasture for their livestock. But manna was provided. However, they couldn't store it for the future. Why couldn't they store it for the future? Because it wasn't God's first intent. It wasn't a long-term plan.
Right.
They disobeyed, and so he provided. They didn't need the blessing, but he still provided. You still with me? We see how God wanted to bless the first generation in his renewal of that promise to the second generation in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He says, "The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none." Verse 13. "The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top and never at the bottom." Think about that. You will always be at the top and never at the bottom. I have felt like before that I am as low can get. Have you been there before? Then I'm drawn back to this scripture where he says, if I pay attention to the commands of the Lord my God and I carefully follow them, then I'll be at the top and never at the bottom. So when we hit bottom sometimes, it's not God's fault. He wants us to have more. We are provided for, yes, but God wants us to experience more. God wanted to bless the nation so abundantly that they would have extra to lend to the surrounding nations so that all the people of the earth will see that they were called by the name of the Lord.
Yes.
And this is certainly not the state of Israel in the wilderness. They are not in a state of blessing. They are in a state of rebellion, and it's only God's faithfulness to his promise that caused him to provide for their needs.
Yeah.
God provides for our needs even when we're unwilling, even when we're disobedient, even when we don't deserve. We don't go hungry. We still have food on our backs. We have shelter. Who does that come from? That comes from God. He's providing, but we're not living in the best. They lived in a state of rebellion, and it was only God's faithfulness to his promise that caused him to provide for their needs until the time came to impart the blessing. Man, oh man, can I repeat this so we can relate it to ourselves? We live in a state of rebellion, and because of God's promise, He will provide for our needs, but we are not living in the blessing. How many times has God been faithful to provide just because He is our Father, and just because He has promised us, and yet we miss the blessing because we live the way we want to live? We do what we want to do. My God, your God, is faithful in providing us with the necessities, just like He did the Israelites, but we miss the blessing because we don't do our own thing.
Yeah. So true.
We miss the blessing because we don't do our own thing. I can live on bread and water. You could live on bread and water. But man, I'd much rather have steak and potatoes. Mm-hmm. Steak and taters, if you need me to say it like that. Yes. We can live on bread and water, but I'd much rather live on steak and potatoes.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about here. God can provide the manna and the water, but oh my goodness, He wants to give us steak and potatoes, and yet we decide we're going to do our own thing. Right. And we neglect this, and we become satisfied with this. There's no sense in naming specifics, because I know when Chris isn't living up to his standards. You know when you're not chinning the bar. Amen? We all know when we're not living close enough to God, when we're not spending enough time in His Word, when we're not spending enough time in prayer, in devotion with Him. We know that. But come on, church, God wants to be more than just our provider. He wants us to live in the overflow of His blessings. I love providing food. I love providing clothing and shelter, the necessities for my family. I love that. It makes me feel good as a man. But let me tell you something. When there comes a time when I can do more, come on, somebody listening. When the time comes that I can do more than just provide, but I can bless, it comes from the depths of my soul.
Yes.
And the joy that comes from it is overwhelming and indescribable. So how much more does our Heavenly Father, who breathed life into our very being, and we come alive, want more than just to provide for us, but He wants to bless. Lean over to your neighbor and say, don't miss your blessing. So what about you today? Is God blessing you because of your obedience? Or are we just living in a state of provision where God is giving you what you need, but you're missing out on the blessing? Some might say, I have breath in my lungs, so I'm blessed. You know, that reminds me of how we are in our world today. Oh, I have breath in my lungs, I'm blessed. We live in this society of complacency. We are satisfied with the bare minimum. As long as I'm getting along, I'm okay. I don't need anything additional. That's where we're at. Here's the thing. More than 6 billion unbelievers have breath in their lungs at this very second. So is God blessing those people the same He is as your or His child? Stay with me a second. Some might say, I have a roof over my head. I'm blessed. I have this. I'm okay. I'm blessed. Here's what Jesus said, though. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. So does that mean you're blessed greater than Jesus? Everybody lay your head on the pillow last night and go to sleep? Does that mean you're blessed more than Jesus? Some might say, I live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Even though we might have questioned that a little bit lately. So I'm blessed. Here's the thing. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that we are but foreigners and strangers in our own land.
Yes.
Paul tells us in Philippians that our citizenship is not of this earth, but it's in heaven. The nation of Israel struggled with nationalism, but Paul reminds them in Galatians that there is neither Greek nor Jew, and our nationality is not a source of our blessing. Referring back to Numbers, God provided for the needs of Israel while they were missing out on the blessings of the promised land that come from obedience, specifically the fruit of the promised land. So I ask you today, are you missing out on your blessing? Or do you find yourself being content with just being provided for? So what promises do we have to look for as a test to see, am I being blessed or just merely provided for? I knew you was going to ask that question. Here's what John 14, chapter 12 says. Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. So whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And ask, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Yeah.
Provision or blessing? Here's your test. Did his word not say that greater work shall we do? Did his word say greater work shall we do? Are we doing greater works than Jesus?
Think about it.
And if you need a reminder, Jesus raised the dead, walked on water, multiplied food, healed the deaf, blind, lame, those who bled, had leprosy, withered a fig tree, and just his words, and he passed through doors. Are we doing greater works than Jesus did? So are we living in provision? Are we living in blessing? Do we believe the word or do we not? We say we believe the word, but our actions sometimes prove otherwise. Oh yes, I believe God can. I believe he can. But our faith doesn't act on that. Oh, Brother Chris, God doesn't move like that anymore. Oh, that verse that I just read in John chapter 14, there was no expiration date on that. Some people believe that those works that followed the apostles and those things that followed Jesus, they died when the apostles died. You'll find nowhere in Scripture that there was an expiration date for any of that. God still moves. God still heals. God can still set people free. But we are not doing greater works because we get satisfied with just being provided for and not living in his blessing. Maybe we just get used to living in that provision. Maybe we just get too comfortable with our humdrum, same old, same old, same old. Maybe we become satisfied with just getting by with the necessities. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the church being the lazy church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the church as a whole. I'm tired of the church living just being satisfied. I'm tired of the church just being lazy, complacent, and not caring.
Right. Come on.
Listen, if we don't show people that we're different, why on earth would they want to come and follow Christ anyway?
Right.
If you're younger than me, you may not remember this. If you're at least my age or older, you might. But how many of you remember Pee Wee Herman? He had a show when I was a kid called Pee Wee's Playhouse. And watch it too much. But Pee Wee Herman is somebody that I think of weak, wimpy. I'm just setting an analogy. Okay, I'm trying to talk about that. Weenie, sissy, whatever it may be. When I think about that, you know what Jesus said? He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're living in a society and we're living in a church world to where if the gates of hell come against us, we don't do anything to close up the church. We live in an age and society where 90% of the people that sit in our pews and in our chairs live life like Pee Wee Herman. And if you think the gates of hell can come up against that and be withstand, we're wrong. We are living so far below what God intends for us to live. We do have hard times. Absolutely. Things come our way. We get bummed out. No doubt. But we lose sight of where our blessing and where our provider comes from.
Yes.
We forget that. Are we experiencing the power of the Holy Ghost? John 14, 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So are we experiencing that power? He's not just a theological doctrine. He is the living. He is the abiding. He is the working. He is the empowering third person of the Godhead who wants to move us toward that abundant blessing.
Yes. Yes.
John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, so don't let your heart be troubled or be afraid." Man, is that hard in this day and age that we live? Yeah. Even for me, who's up here telling you, hey, yeah, we can hit rock bottom. We got to remember who our source and who our provider is. Yes, it is. Don't let your heart be troubled. When we realize that our God is sovereign and He is there for us no matter what, whatever comes can come. And we can be at peace.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that our emotions aren't going to bother us. But there's a difference in that and living in peace.
Yes.
Are you at peace? Is your peace and comfort found in the way the world finds it? Well, how does the world find it? They find it in financial stability, job security, health. But are we content, as Paul says in Philippians 4, in whatever state we are in, whatever situation we're in? Let me be perfectly clear. While they were wandering in the wilderness, the nation of Israel was already God's chosen people. Are you a chosen people this morning? Are you bought by the blood of Jesus Christ? If you are, raise your hands and thank Him for it this morning. God, I thank You that we are a blood-bought, born-again church, child of the King. And I thank You for that this morning. I thank You, God, for that. Let me be clear again. The nation of Israel was already God's chosen people, even when they were living in disobedience. We can live in disobedience and still be God's chosen people. I'm not talking about backsliding. I'm saying we can disobey and not follow God, what God wants for us, and we're still God's people. That's not what I'm saying. Their obedience was not a test to see if God would choose them. God already chose them. If you're saved, if you're under the blood this morning, God already chose you. We're already a child of God. He already had made that promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The obedience that I'm talking about comes from a state of already-ness. It's no coincidence that the promises of John chapter 14 that I read, that I just quoted, is sandwiched in between this verse. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father.
Yeah.
And I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Yeah.
If we're a follower of Jesus, we are already a part of God's family. We now have the choice to walk in obedience that leads to blessing or walk in disobedience that removes that blessing. We're ready to either walk in obedience that just allows God's storehouse to flood our, not only our soul, but our natural lives as well. Hey, God wants to bless you in the natural just as much. He tells us, I want you to prosper and I want you to be in good health. He says that first, but then he follows it up with, as your soul prospers. So that tells me not only does God want to bless my soul and my spiritual life, He wants to bless me here as well. Come on, somebody say amen. That's good. The obedience that I'm talking about comes from the state of already-ness. If we're a follower of Christ, we're already a part of God's family. Unfortunately, too many of us in the church as a whole, we see the manna and we see the water and we in our lives, and we think that God is blessing us. When you got the manna and you got the water, remind yourself you're not living in blessing. You're living in the providential will of God.
Right.
He's providing for your needs because you're His child.
Yes, sir.
Does anybody see what I'm trying to correlate here today? And while He's trying to say, look at all that you are missing, that's just His provision. He's just providing for our needs, but He wants us to live in a state of obedience where He can bless us. Let's look at this blessing and provision from one more perspective. Now I ask you to go with me in your Bibles or on your Bible app, whatever you want to use, to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, and we'll start verse 1. blessing and provision here. Judges 13:1 says, "And again the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years." Verse 1 says, "And again." And again what? "And again they did evil and disobeyed." And so Scripture says that He delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. I wonder what it is with 40 years of God. Let me read verses 2 through 5. "Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son.'" Verse 4, "Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." The Lord started dealing with me, and I started studying about this particular lesson, message, whatever you want to call it, over a year ago. And actually, this is where I started, was in Judges. Everything you got before that was just kind of a prelude to this main point here. But this is where I want to go. I love dissecting Scripture. And most of you know I'm more of a teacher than maybe necessarily a preacher. I enjoy digging into Scripture and looking to see what does it really mean and how can I dissect it. So I did that here as well. Here's what I noticed about these verses. First of all, and hopefully you won't think I'm comical when I say this, but this is what I noticed first. Manoah's wife is nameless. The Bible never mentions her name. She is only referred to as Manoah's wife. The feminist movement would love that today. You ladies go and introduce yourselves and just say, "Hey, I'm John's wife. My name's totally irrelevant because I'm married to John." Yeah, I see it. No way. I can see it already. The second thing I notice is the fact that in verse 3, the angel of the Lord appeared to her, and the very first thing that the angel said to her was something that Manoah's wife already knew. This woman who could have no child, and especially in those days, it was a very difficult thing to deal with, being barren. Because by society, it had been pointed out to her, ridiculed, mocked, was not well thought of. But that's the first thing that the angel pointed out to her. My initial response would be, "Now, why would you have to go and remind me of such a terrible thing that I have to deal with?" Yeah. Have you ever had the Lord just pinpoint your hurt? Mm-hmm. Whether it be through someone else or whether it be in your personal prayer time, you know something you're dealing with and the Lord just pinpoints it. Yeah. And says, "Hey, you're going to deal with this. Why?" Why did the angel pinpoint the thing that was causing her so much grief in her life? Here's why. Because what was fixing to happen was not going to happen in the natural. We all are mature adults here today. We know how that baby gets in mama's womb. And the angel wanted her to know that what's getting ready to happen to you is not in the natural. You're getting ready to be inoculated by the power of God, and He's getting ready to bless you and Manoah like you've never been blessed before. It wasn't going to happen in the natural. It was going to be a God thing. Because as soon as the angel reminded her that she was childless, there was a "but" that immediately followed, and it said, "But you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son." What a wonderful blessing God was giving Manoah and his wife. Yeah. Right? Was it a blessing? Yeah. Who was Manoah and his wife She was going to be impregnated with who? And we all know the story of Samson. Think about this for a second. Blessing or provision. Immediately, the angel said, you're going to become pregnant. You're going to give birth to a son. What a wonderful blessing God was giving to Manoah and his wife. Of course it was a blessing to Manoah and to Manoah's wife. Because it was a provision for God's chosen people. We read that. Hey, for 40 years, God let them be in bondage again because they had disobeyed. However, because of Manoah and his wife's obedience, God was going to plant a blessing inside her that, however many years later, was going to provide God's people a way out. Let me go to skip over to chapter 14. If you still have your Bibles or your Bible app, whatever you're using, skip over to chapter 14. Verses 5 through 7. It says, so Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord... And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one who would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. And then he went down the road and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Ever faced a difficult situation in your life where you had to literally fight for your life? Maybe not necessarily in the physical, but maybe emotionally, maybe spiritually. Anybody ever face a lion like that? How about a bear? Why did I do that to myself? Evidently, I wasn't living in God's blessing back then, or I could have tore that bear apart with my bare hands. Okay, moving on. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to become discouraged when we are faced with tough situations. I don't know anyone who welcomes tough times. Even though we know many scriptures that tell us, be content in whatever state we're in. The trying of our faith worketh patience. I remember specifically a time that I was going through something tough, and a blessed, wonderful, super spiritual woman of God that's not in this audience today, so don't worry about that. She came up to me and she patted me on the back and she said, Brother Chris, the trying of your faith worketh patience. In those moments, it really doesn't help. Come on, you can be real. It don't help you either. You know the scripture, but when your bottom lip is dragging the floor and you can't hardly see the light of day, and somebody comes up and says, the trying of your faith, work of patience, did nothing for me. Nothing for me whatsoever. Why? Why? Because we all face those times. We all go through tough times. However, he does tell us that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. However, it's still tough. We rarely recognize at the time that our difficulties can produce a greater result only if we allow them to. Samson faced a lion in the physical. In these verses, Scripture tells us that he was on his way to visit a female, which was an issue for Samson. You know, we all don't like to face our issues. We don't like to face our weakness. I said it before, sometimes God has to pinpoint your hurt. Pinpoint where you're weak at. And we don't like it. We don't like it. However, if we can realize that in those times, sometimes in our, well, Scripture tells us, in our weakness, He is made strong. We rarely recognize that though. That our difficulties can produce a greater result if we allow them to. Samson Females were an issue for him, one which his parents had already warned and tried to discourage him about. But regardless, facing a lion would have made me think twice about continuing my journey, since I've already blown it with the whole bear story. When I met that bear, it made me change course really fast. I did not complete my journey. It was a complete 360 in the other direction. I didn't finish. I finished. I took myself another route. However, ever thought about Samson's lion being God's provision? Why would I say that? I say that because of verse 8 in Judges chapter 14. This is what it says. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion that he had killed. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands, and he went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave them some, and they also ate. That provision turned into a blessing. The lion was provided so that it could be used as a blessing on down the road. Are you really getting this today? Sometimes the terrible stuff that we go through, God will turn around and use that to our good. What he provides, what may seem like a lion in our lives, he turned around and that become a blessing for Samson and his parents. The provision turned into a blessing. Please hear what I'm saying today. Sometimes what seemed like maybe our downfall could ultimately lead to God's blessing. Even Joseph told his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, "What you meant for evil against me, God is going to turn around for good." What a wonderful story of Joseph, of someone who went through it all. But what he went through, God turned around and rewarded him for, because he was obedient and faithful. See, that's the difference. Our obedience and our faithfulness to God brings in blessings. In closing, don't settle for what just gets you by. God has more. He has much more. How many of you are thankful that God is our provider? I'm thankful He's our provider. But I am so much more thankful that when we choose to live according to His Word, when we choose to obey, to walk in how He wants us to walk, He has more than just manna, more than just quail, more than just water. He has a whole land overrunning with milk and honey for each and every one of us. It goes past being provided for, and it goes into His blessing. Yes. Can you say amen? Amen. Stand with me this morning.